Welcome to the Chosen People radio program, a production of Chosen People Ministries. On this program, you'll hear inspiring stories, learn about messianic apologetics, and discover God's plan for Israel and you. And wherever you're listening right now, we hope you lean in, listen closely, and learn a lot. Now let's welcome our hosts, Mitch Glazer, president of Chosen People Ministries, and Robert Walter, our New York regional director.
Shalom and welcome to The Chosen People. My name is Robert Walter, you can call me Bobby, and I'm coming to you now from Midtown Manhattan. And joining me today is my dear brother and friend, Chaim Dowerman. Chaim, welcome to The Chosen People.
Oh, thank you, Bobby.
Yes.
May I call you Bobby?
You may.
All right, wonderful.
Okay, good. And so Chaim is filling in once again for our dear brother, Mitch, who is on his sabbatical still, and please keep him in prayer as he gets this time of rest. So we have a very special topic that we're going to be talking about today and for the next few weeks. And it has to do with the prophet Isaiah. So every year, when this time of year comes around in the Jewish community, there are 7 weeks in between a special day on the Hebrew calendar called Tisha B'Av, which means the ninth day of the month of Av on the Hebrew calendar. And that particular day marks the destruction of the first temple, marks the destruction of the second temple, and actually marks all sorts of just devastating, grievous acts that took place in Jewish history, really during biblical times and even the past 2,000 years as well. So that particular day, which is usually in July or August on our calendar, again, it's a day of grief and misery and mourning and pain. It's a fast day, and it's kind of like the lowest point of the year. And then what happens after that day, over the next 7 weeks, leading up to the high holiday in the fall of Rosh Hashanah, you have this special lectionary reading that takes place in most synagogues around the world that are meant to be these 7 readings of consolation. These readings specifically from the prophet Isaiah, beginning in chapter 40 through the end of the book, that are meant to just elicit hope and comfort and answers for Israel in the midst of the grief. So that's what we're going to focus on. We want to dig into this and really, you know, dive into the text, but kind of extract a little bit the narrative that is revealed for us in these Isaiah passages. So, Chaim.
May I bring something up before we start?
Absolutely.
Every year when I look at these passages, as we get to these 7 passages, the 7 Haftarot of consolation, I'm reminded of the fact that some people will say, or they've heard, that Isaiah 53 is either forbidden to read in the Jewish world, or it's deliberately left out of the readings, or it's covered up in some way. And I think it's worth mentioning, since as a ministry, Chosen People Ministries places a lot of emphasis on Isaiah 53.
Yes, we do.
And
yeah,
we're going to read around Isaiah 53, but we're not going to actually read Isaiah 53. And so 2 things that I think would probably be good to mention. One is that actually, as we go through this, you're going to find that the Messiah shines through thematically in a number of places. And these are places that even the apostles turn to speak of the Messiah, that Yeshua even turns to speak of himself. So if there's an effort to cover up Jesus by removing Isaiah 53, people didn't do a very good job because he's right there.
Mm-hmm.
But secondly, there are a number of chapters in Isaiah that are skipped over in this progression we're going to go through. Nobody has any theories about why that is. So Isaiah 53, there is, I think, a lack of familiarity sometimes for Jewish people with it because it's not a part of these readings.
Sure.
It's not thought about in a way where it would need to be removed or covered up. It's just, this is a stretch of readings in which it's not featured. But as we go through, I think we'll find that there is a lot of Yeshua in these texts anyway.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think that's one of the big takeaways that we'll get as we go through these passages. So Chaim, let's dive into the text here. So the first two of these seven portions are found in Isaiah 40, verses 1 through 26, and also in Isaiah 49, 14 through chapter 51 and verse 3. And I think before we read, it's just important to talk about Isaiah in general, right? So Isaiah is split up into like two major sections, chapters 1 through 39, which kind of have one tone. A lot of it is, there's prophecy there. There's a lot of messianic prophecy there. But also there's a lot of just warning that God is communicating through the prophet Isaiah to wayward Israel, wayward Jerusalem, about her sins. And these warnings are coming from Isaiah in these first 39 chapters that if Israel doesn't repent and turn back to God, then judgment would come, right? And then in chapter 40, it's like the switch is flipped. And then beginning in chapter 40, going through the end of Isaiah's book in chapter 66, there's a whole lot that has to do with looking ahead, right? Looking ahead to, again, God's covenant promises coming to pass. There's promises about the hope that Israel has, the redemption that God is going to bring, and then the glorious kingdom that God has in store for us. So it begins here in chapter 40. So Chaim, maybe you could start reading for us.
Yeah, absolutely.
In chapter 40.
I just have to say, also, before we get started, I love this chapter. Mm. When I first came to faith in Yeshua, which was almost 10 years ago now, mm-hmm. I sort of put together a diet of scripture that I was reading every day. And this passage was, I think, for some reason, one of the first things that really spoke to me. And I read Isaiah 40 at least once a day for months.
Wow.
And so whenever we come, I don't want to say I get excited about Tisha B'Av because nobody gets excited about Tisha B'Av. But when you want to talk about comfort and consolation, to me, this is one of the most comforting passages in scripture, because it was one that that spoke to my heart when I was coming out of personal devastation and great emptiness and confusion. If you're not familiar with this passage very much, I encourage you to read through it because it's really, it's quite remarkable. But I'll just start off with the beginning, Bob.
Yeah, sounds good.
So starting in verse 1, "Comfort, O comfort my people, says your God. Speak kindly to Jerusalem and call out to her that her warfare has ended, that her iniquity has been removed, that she has received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice is calling, 'Clear the way for the Lord in the wilderness, make smooth in the desert a highway for our God. Let every valley be lifted up and every mountain and hill be made low. And let the rough ground become a plain and the rugged terrain a broad valley.'"
Yeah,
it sounds familiar, actually.
Yeah, it really does, right? I mean, it's clearly, if we're looking at this through the lens of the New Testament, mm-hmm. We see clear allusions here to John the Baptist as this forerunner of the Messiah who would ultimately bring, you know, Israel's hope to fruition and bring the redemption that Israel is longing for, that the world is longing for, and ultimately bring in his glorious kingdom.
Yeah.
But I think one thing that I love about Isaiah 40 and what you just read here is that in the immediate context, right, it's speaking about God's covenant with Israel and God's ongoing covenant promises to Israel. And the principle that's being revealed here is that on the other side of Israel experiencing, I mean, the consequences for her sins.
And Israel has experienced, I mean, the Babylonian exile, the destruction of the first temple, this is apocalyptic. This is unthinkable. This is the loss of everything. This is the loss of your complete society. This is the loss of your access to God. And then you're booted out of the land.
Right.
If there were a moment for God to turn his back on Israel finally and fully, mm-hmm. that would be the moment.
Right.
But that's not what we see here.
Right. Exactly. Like from that place of grief and sorrow and experiencing the consequences of your actions as an individual, as a nation, God does not just heap more judgment and condemnation upon Israel here. Why? Because of his covenant promises. Instead, he's shouting out, comfort, right? Nechamu, nechamu, my people, right? Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak kindly to Jerusalem and call out to her that her warfare has ended, that her iniquity has been removed. I think this is important for us. Again, in the immediate context, speaking about God's ongoing covenant relationship and promises to Israel that will come to pass in the future. I think even today we could say that Israel has not fully experienced what's described here in Isaiah chapter 40. There's still a lot of these promises that God has made in his covenants to Israel concerning the people and the land that have not been fulfilled yet.
And there's something in here. I want to actually jump forward to the second Haftarah, if I may.
So chapter 49?
Yes, toward the end, the last two verses of this section, which actually comes in 51.
Yes.
Verses 2 and 3. Because here we see a point where the Lord is pointing forward, okay? But he's also pointing backward to give Israel hope. And when you read this and you see the terms with which he's speaking, it reminds me a lot of what we read in the New Testament. He says, look to Abraham, your father. This is chapter 51, verse 2. Mm-hmm. Look to Abraham, your father, and to Sarah, who gave birth to you in pain. When he was but one, I called him. Then I blessed him and multiplied him. Indeed, the Lord will comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places. In her wilderness, he will make like Eden, and her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found in her, thanksgiving and sound of a melody. Mm. And see, here he's rooting his promise of future restoration in his faithfulness to Abraham.
Right.
And there's something very meaningful in that to me when I look at how much energy is placed in the New Testament with the apostles rooting God's faithfulness in his covenant with Abraham.
Mm-hmm.
And we see that echoed right here, where God is pointing way forward and also way back,
mm-hmm.
basically saying, look, I was faithful to Abraham. I'm going to be faithful to you.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think it fits so nicely here. Again, considering the context of Isaiah chapter 40, considering the context of where Isaiah 40 and 49 and 50 and 51 here, where it fits in this cycle, in this reading cycle during these 7 weeks, it's designed in a way to speak to Israel, okay, as a nation, as a people, in the midst of the lowest point, right? Experiencing being torn from the land, experiencing the temple being destroyed, and losing that access to God. But God assures Israel that there is hope, that God has not forsaken the nation, even though the nation has turned her back on him. God has not cast off Israel whom he foreknew, right? Like Paul says in Romans 11, but that God's promises are true. And those promises that he made to Abraham, that he reiterated to Isaac and then to Jacob, that have continued to shape and define his relationship with the Jewish people, even to this day, right? Even to this day in 2026, they are still yes and amen, right? They are still true. And God will bring this to pass, that on the other side of the pain and the brokenness, there is hope that is found in God alone.
We're now going to hear from Marty Goetz, an Emmy-nominated Messianic Jewish singer and songwriter who just wanted to make his way in the world but kept finding himself confronted by the person of Jesus. He decided to decode the Bible and find out what all the hoopla was about. When he finally read the New Testament, he realized that Jesus was more Jewish than he was. I know you will be blessed by his testimony.
So where I grew up, it was a, I would say, 90% Jewish neighborhood. Yumei ha-Chanukah, Chanukat Mikdashenu Vegila u'Simcha Memalim et libenu Laila v'yom svivoneinu Yisot Sukaniyot nochal bam larov. It was great, but we were surrounded in Cleveland by non-Jewish people. I remember on Christmas, we would go into this place in Cleveland that had the best Christmas lights of anybody, and my mom would say, you know, there's a lot of anti-Semites in this day. And I didn't know one Christian from another, but I knew that there were Christians and Jews, Gentiles and Jews. There was us and there was them. So from Cleveland, I went away to college, Carnegie Mellon University, and I auditioned for a show. And I remember my audition because my favorite song to play was Georgia on My Mind by Ray Charles. Well, I got the job and went and did summer stock theater and caught the show business bug. And all through college, Bert and Marty played in local clubs and local cabarets. Everything was good. We were up in the Catskill Mountains, the Borscht Belt. We won the best new act up there when we were up there the first year. We thought we were on our way. And then Bert, who was a Methodist, decided he wanted a little deeper faith. So he went to this church, and when he came back, it was called the Rock Church, he said, I'm born again. I have no idea what that was. I did know that Jimmy Carter was born again, but Bert now was a born again Christian. And after that, it just got terrible because he was telling me all the time about Jesus. He didn't care about Bert and Marty anymore. He only cared about Jesus. And he began to preach to me, and life got very irritating because Jews do not believe in Jesus. I was a young guy. I was like 25 years old. I wanted to, you know, meet girls, and I wanted to hang out late at night, and by this time I was smoking a little marijuana, and you know, I just wanted to be one of those cool guys in the late 70s, you know, just making my way in the world. But I was provoked to a lot of anger about Bert believing in Jesus, because every time I'd see him, that's all he could talk about. He loved me. He cared about me. I cared about him, but he freaked me out. I didn't want to know about all those things. But he was praying for me. All his friends were praying for me. I knew that. They would even come to see me in my piano bars every once in a while. But it bothered me so much that I bought myself a Bible. And I said, I'm going to have to crack this code. And I started reading about it. Didn't want to have anything to do with it, but I need to know. Who is this Jesus, and why do all these people believe in him? The more I thought about them, the angrier I got, and the more frustrated I got, and I said, I gotta get away from them. So I said, I gotta get out of New York, I gotta go where people are normal, so I moved to Los Angeles, California, of course, and got to Los Angeles, still bothered by all this, but on the way, I had picked up a big family Bible in my parents' house in Cleveland, and I would go in the morning to try to peddle my songs that I was writing, and in the afternoon I'd open up that big Bible, and I'd open it up, and I finally got the courage to open up to what's called the New Testament, and it says the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. And I thought, that's strange, that's Jewish, I know about those people. And then I kept reading, and the more I read, the more I realized Jesus is Jewish. As a matter of fact, the more I read about him, he turned out to be more Jewish than I was. And he seemed to come alive off of those pages. He wasn't like that dead Jesus on a cross at my friend Kevin's house or in the church. He was alive and he was Jewish. So living in Los Angeles at the same time I had just moved there was Annie, Bert's friend from the church he attended in New York. She was a born-again Christian. She'd been praying for me for years. We became friendly. And one day I was visiting her. She had to go to a Bible study. So she said, stay here, watch my apartment while I go to this Bible study. I said, okay. And I'm thinking about all this stuff that's going on. And I look out over her balcony, overlooking the Sunset Strip in Los Angeles. And there, shining with this bright, bright, white light, was a cross right through the window. And I just ended up staring at it and thinking to myself, is Jesus after me? Annie returns and tries to explain to me, yes, God is calling you, Marty. And it was all too much for me, but Annie was persistent. So she said, we're gonna go to the beach on Sunday and we're gonna hear this guy preach. I said, okay. So the guy's name was Hal Lindsey, and he preached a message. People were sitting there on the beach, hands raised, singing songs to Jesus. And at the end of the message, Hal Lindsey says, Brother Gideon, come on up here. We're going to take communion together. So Gideon gets up there and he takes the bread and he says, Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam hamotzi lechem min haaretz. And he says over the wine, Borei pri hagafen. And he says the Hebrew prayer over the bread and the wine. And it was completely unsettling to me. I did not expect the prayer I had learned when I was a little kid growing up in Cleveland to be said on the beach in Los Angeles in the name of Jesus. Very upsetting. So I said to Annie, I got to get out of here. Please take me home. And she said, okay, I'll take him, because I was really unsettled by the whole thing. And I remember I'm almost like in a fetal position, curled up in the back of her car, freaking out, so shaken up by what I'm experiencing. And she says, Marty, I'm sorry to tell you this, I can't take you home because I gotta go to this other church. It's called The Vineyard. And if I don't go now, I'm gonna be late. So I said, okay, okay. By this time, I didn't know what to think. So I said, take me, take me. So she takes me there and they do another service. And people are singing, hands raised, just like at the beach. And at the end of the service, I remember thinking, you know what? I really believe that whoever this Jesus is, he is after me, because they gave the invitation. And I just said, I give up. I surrender. I'm a sinner. I need a savior. I need Jesus. When I first came to the Lord, it was just, is Jesus Jewish? Is he the Messiah or not? Well, he showed me that he was. But over the years, he's also revealed to me many things in my own soul, in my own life that need to be pruned, need to be trimmed, need to be submitted. And I'm not the man I was when I first came to him. He's taking away a lot of my self-centeredness and my pride and my ego. And all through these years, somebody said to me when I first became a believer, Marty, he's going to get better and better and better. And you know what? I have found that. The older I get, the more I see how I did not deserve to be brought to him. I didn't deserve for him to come to me and give me his life for my life.
Well, thank you so much for tuning in with us here on The Chosen People. We would love to stay in touch with you and to hear from you. So we want to invite you to check us out online, chosenpeople.com/radio. And when you visit us there, we actually have a free gift for you. So just take a moment, fill out your information, and we'll get you that gift right away. If you'd like to email us, you can send us a note at radio@chosenpeople.com. Send us a compliment or a praise or a question or however the Lord leads. We would just love to hear back from you. And if email is not your thing, you can also call us and leave a voicemail. So the phone number to call is 914-288-1466. Again, that's 914-288-1466. We also just want to let you know that we are receiving your emails. We're receiving your voice messages. We love and appreciate the encouragement and the prayer requests as well. We are praying for you. So again, please feel free to reach out. Email or call us or check us out on the website. So with that, we're just going to close out our time with the Aaronic benediction.
Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha Ya'er panav elecha v'chunecha Yisa Adonai panav elecha V'yisem lecha shalom V'yasem lecha shalom.
May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift his countenance upon you and be gracious to you. May the face of the Lord shine upon you and give you peace. B'shem shel Yeshua HaMashiach, Sar Shalom, in the name of Jesus the Messiah, the Prince of Peace.